Here's something most of us never have to think about. When does the day actually start? Down here, that's an easy question. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, and the watch on your wrist keeps pace with all of it. But take that same watch to low Earth orbit, and the whole arrangement falls apart. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS. Today we're talking about timekeeping at 5 miles per second, and why the humble wristwatch had to be reinvented for people who watch the sunrise 16 times before breakfast. Let me set the scene. On the International Space Station, you're moving at roughly 17,500 miles per hour. At that speed, you circle the entire planet once every 90 minutes. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. 90 minutes later, it happens again. Over the course of one 24-hour period, an astronaut sees as many as 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets. Now think about what that does to a standard 12-hour watch dial. The whole point of that dial, going back centuries, is that it loosely maps to the rhythm of a day. Morning on one side, evening on the other. But in orbit, there is no morning. There is no evening. There's just light, dark, faster than you can keep track of. The cues that anchor our sense of time, the ones we never even notice down here, simply break down. That's the problem AOPA dug into this week, and it's a genuinely fascinating one for anyone who's ever thought about how we measure time in flight. Before we go further, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what you need to know about timekeeping in space. The answer the aerospace world landed on isn't a 12-hour dial at all. It's the 24-hour clock, the same system you and I already use every time we copy down a clearance or file a flight plan. Zulu time, coordinated universal time. Think about why that matters. When you're flying, you don't say it's a quarter past 2 in the afternoon. You say 1415 Zulu, one unambiguous reference, the same for a pilot in Anchorage and a controller in London, regardless of where the sun happens to be sitting in the sky. Aviation figured out a long time ago that local sunlight is a terrible way to coordinate anything that crosses time zones. Space just takes that lesson to its absolute extreme. When you cross every time zone on Earth every 90 minutes, local time becomes meaningless, so the station runs on coordinated universal time. Mission control, the crew, the experiment schedules, all of it anchored to a single clock that doesn't care whether the window's bright or dark. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though, because the interesting part isn't just which time zone they picked. It's what a watch actually has to do up there. A spaceflight watch has to survive conditions your everyday timepiece was never built for. Wild temperature swings as the spacecraft moves between sunlight and shadow. Vibration on launch that would shake an ordinary movement apart, and it has to remain readable and reliable when the most basic environmental cue your brain uses to estimate time, daylight, is firing 16 times a day and lying to you every single time. This is why the watches that have flown on crewed missions tend to be deliberately, almost stubbornly simple, mechanical movements that don't depend on a battery you can't easily replace. High contrast dials you can read in harsh light or near darkness. And critically, that 24-hour reference so a crew member can tell mission elapsed time and Zulu time at a glance without trying to guess whether it's supposed to be day or night outside. Now, this affects you if you've ever flown a long cross-country, a red-eye, or pushed into real fatigue on a night flight, because the underlying issue isn't unique to astronauts. It's circadian disruption. Your body has an internal clock, and it expects light and dark to show up on a roughly 24-hour schedule. When they don't, your judgment, your reaction time, and your alertness all take a hit, whether you feel it or not. Astronauts get the most dramatic version of this. 16 sunrises a day will scramble anyone's internal sense of time. But a pilot crossing 6 time zones or flying through the backside of the clock on an overnight leg is dealing with a milder form of the exact same thing. Your watch says one thing. Your body clock says another. The sun out the window says a third. The professional answer in the cockpit and in orbit is the same. You stop trusting the sun. You commit to one reference clock. You discipline yourself to it, and you manage your rest and your duty time against that clock rather than against how bright it happens to be outside. Zulu time isn't just a bureaucratic convention. It's a defense against your own scrambled instincts. So what should you take from all this? If you fly any distance at all, get comfortable thinking in Zulu. Not just for filing, but as your honest anchor for how long you've actually been awake and how long you've actually been flying. The astronauts on the station live their entire mission that way, By necessity, the rest of us can borrow the discipline without ever leaving the atmosphere. And the next time you glance down at the watch on your wrist on a long night flight, give the thing a little respect. It's quietly doing a job that a few hundred miles straight up had to be completely rethought just to keep working. That story comes courtesy of AHOPA, and it's worth reading their full piece on the watches built for orbit. You can always find more at radiohanger.com. 16 sunrises a day. Makes one good one out the windshield feel like a pretty fair deal. This is Tower. Keep your reference clock honest, and I'll see you next time.